Well, we are so glad that you guys are here today. And, you know, Pam has said in most of the services thus far, y'all get to choose where you get to go, and you chose to be here, and that truly is a blessing to us. And I think we need to start today. Let's just give God a big hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 Don't forget, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we're going to have a new year. Hey, come tomorrow night. We're going to party, okay? I mean, that's what we're doing. Come tomorrow night for Christmas Eve. It's going to be a great time to celebrate in God's house. Amen? Amen. The birth of Jesus is so important. But what I want us to learn today is the gifts that come from the birth. That's what truly is important to you and to me. Now, no doubt the baby's birth caused it all, but all what he did for you and me is absolutely amazing, and sometimes you sit back to go, it is unbelievable. In the New Testament, in the book of John, it says, in the beginning. There's always been kind of a controversial theological debate that in the beginning was chaos. And then God created order to chaos, but I believe that God, in the beginning, being a God of order, created, and that which he created was in order. And you will see it from the scripture today, because it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you go all the way to the back of the Bible, 1 John 1:1 says, what was from the beginning? We have heard what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And that life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write for one reason, so that our joy may be made complete. Now, in Scripture specifically, it never tells us that you and I are going to be happy. But what it says is that you and I can have the fruit of the Spirit and have joy. And joy is what you have in the midst of all the struggles and all the trials that you and I go through, because of Christmas. Yes. Now, when we think about Christmas, we've talked so many times over the last couple weeks, you know, what do you normally think about? Well, you think about the nativity scene. You think about, you know, Mary and Joseph. You think about the baby lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. You think about the animals, the barn. You think all about those things. But when we read the scripture at the very beginning, that's not a typical Christmas passage. But I promise you that that passage will explain the nativity scene in a way that you've never seen it before. We know in the book of Romans, it says, for the wages of sin is death. If you and I should be paid for what we've done in this life, it should be death. But the scripture says, but the free gift, and you cannot forget the word free, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the Greek word charisma in the English is the word gift, and it means a gift of grace. It means a free gift. So if someone gives you a gift, you know, some of y'all have been kind and gave us, Pam and I, gifts. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it, but you love us and you give us a gift. And that's the whole key about a gift. You can't earn the gift. You can't buy the gift, because if you bought the gift, it's not a gift. You had something to do with it. And the greatest thing of all about our Lord is that he has given you and me a free gift. You don't have enough money. Yeah, give God a hand clap of praise. You don't have enough money to buy it. Your life is not good enough to earn it. It is nothing except a God who looks down upon his creation and says, I love you guys so much, and I want to give something to you because I love you. And the great thing about the story about Christmas, even though we were still enemies, he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die on the cross for you and me. Now, here is where it starts getting good. In John 1:1, Jesus is called the Word. In John 1:1, he is called the Word of Life. And then in verse 2, Jesus is called Eternal Life. So here's what I want you to see. We are not told that Jesus has eternal life. We are not told that he even gives us eternal life. We are told that he is eternal life for you and for me. Amen. Amen. Now think about the wise men or whoever saw the baby lying in a manger. Did they truly understand that what they saw right there was eternal life? I don't think they understand it, and candidly, I don't think you and I understand the totality of what God has done for you and for me. He is the Word, he is the Word of life, and he is eternal life for you and for me. Now, we have a choice. You know, Trey, what would be the finest car that I could buy for you? If you wanted something, what would it be? Yeah, I mean, you put it out there, man. I mean, do it. What would it be? Okay. He wants an 84 Chevy pickup. Here's the keys.
It don't come with a remote.
Don't be ruining my story, okay? All right, here's the key. But what I want to see is, if I'm going to give him a gift, what does he have to do? He has to grab the keys. Get the keys back or we're walking, okay? But that's the challenge for us today, because God has given you and us, all of us here, a free gift. So either you can leave it in the box or you can unwrap it. Well, if you unwrap it, what do you get? A baby? Sure. Jesus? Yeah. Much bigger picture. First of all, you get salvation by grace. Now, you know, I teased everybody in the first service, but, you know, I look at my life, and if you wrote down on a piece of paper, did you do this? I'd probably go, yes. I mean, I have done anything that anybody could ever think about, and to think that God could save someone like me doesn't make sense to me, but it is salvation by grace. Grace is a free gift, okay? In the acronym of GRACE, I can't think about walking home, man, I'm telling you. But it says salvation by grace. Grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. Doesn't deal with you. Doesn't deal with how good you've been, church. Doesn't deal with how bad you've been. You and I are not in the picture. It is salvation by grace. Amen. Second thing that you get in the midst of this is eternal life. Well, now we know that before we think about that's a place. No, you get Jesus, who is eternal life. But you also get God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but you get God in the flesh. And if you and I have God in the flesh this Christmas, if God could be for you, who in the world could ever be against anybody in this building today? The Bible also says that he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. That is the greatest gift that you and I could ever have in our lives. If you never open the gift, then life is based upon you. You will live in fear. You will honestly live in insecurity. You will live in inadequacy, that you will just never measure up to the standards that God's looking for. And candidly, if you do it by yourself, you're 100% correct. Because we can't reach the standard of God by ourselves. But Christ comes in the picture. Christ is the grace. Christ is eternal life. Christ is God. And see, God takes us from the gates of hell and he lifts us up to that place to reign in our lives. Well, you know, you can open that gift up this Christmas. If you've already had it, praise God. If you've never opened up that gift, then I pray today you would be so excited to go, I have got to open up the gift. Now, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through your works. No, through faith. Well, what is faith? Faith is being sure of what you hope for. It's the evidence of things that you've never seen. We've never seen God, we've never seen Christ, and we've never seen the Holy Ghost. Okay? But we have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a work so that you can boast. You know, you can't sit around and go, wow, I saved myself and I get to go. No, it's got nothing to do with you. You can't get there from here. So your choice defines your life. If you want God, then you get eternal life. Eternal life is Christ Jesus. If you don't want to open up the package, then you get to live with all the fears and the insecurities, and you're going to live your entire life thinking, I'm just not worthy. But see, without Christ, you're right, but with Christ, you're wrong. Now, when you think about it, it actually shows you the importance of the Christmas story. And if we are not saved by what we've done, but by what Christ has done, then it's crucial that the events of the gospel are true. Why? First of all, the Immaculate Conception. You know, if you and I could have saved ourselves and we would be the perfection that God is looking for, and no one in this room is perfection. No one in this room, the Bible says, no, not even one. So God came and through the power of the Holy Spirit placed a child into Mary. And Mary had an immaculate conception that does not make sense to anything or anybody. You had the birth of Jesus Christ, you've got the cross. And on that cross, because of the birth of that child, you and I have more than we could ever imagine. First of all, it says the resurrection of the dead. In Romans 10, 9, and 10, it says that you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Why is that so important? Because if God didn't raise Christ from the dead, then God's not going to raise you and me from the dead. The story is done. It's finished. It's over. It is of no good whatsoever. So the key with this is that there is the resurrection of the dead, which is so vitally important to you and me. Then there is the forgiveness of sins. You know, a lot of people will go, okay, God, forgive me, but you don't count on the forgiveness. Girl. But God has forgiven you and me. You know, it's very easy to go, oh, you know, he died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. But I got to tell you, the neat thing about it is they've been forgiven. Yeah. How do you know they've been forgiven? Because of righteousness. Without being righteous, you can't stand in the presence of Almighty God. It will never work. And one of the gifts that God has given us is that you can get up every day of your life and walk boldly into the throne room of grace and stand in the presence of Almighty God and commune with Him all that you want in your life. Then there's justification. He looks at you when you repent just as if you've never sinned. Now, you know, you go back to your life. Look at the things that you've done. Look at the skeletons in your closet, which we don't want to, but they're there. Satan might bring them up. But you see, if you belong to God, there's a key in there. It's locked. He's thrown it away. He's not talking about what you did in the past. He's more concerned about what you do in the present. So you and I have been justified. And I love this one, we've been sanctified. You know, the whole picture of sanctification is that we're in the world. And, you know, I love Psalms 91. It says that He's given His angels charge concerning us, that they will guard us in all of our ways. They will pick us up. They will move us over here so that we would not stub our foot against a stone. We have been sanctified. We have been set apart, church. We do not have to act like the world for one reason, because we are not of this world anymore because of Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, in 1 John it says, what was from the beginning, from the very beginning of time, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, church, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life. Who is eternal life? Jesus Christ, which was the Father and was manifested to us. And what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write one time again so that you and I might have joy. The Holy Spirit gives to us the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those fruits is joy, love, and peace, and patience, and joy, and long-suffering, so that you and I have what God died to give. Also in John 16, 22, it says, therefore you too have grief. We all go through the struggles of life. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. See, if we belong to Christ, you and I might be oppressed, but we can never be possessed. And the only way that Satan can get our joy is if we give it to him. And you and I got to get to the place to go, I know you're standing here, and I know you want to take it, but you can't have it because it's mine. So no one could ever take it from you. John 17, 13 says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full. What does Psalms 23 says? Your cup shall overflow. See, we have a God today that's not a God of just enough. We worship a God of more than enough. We worship a God that has said in Scripture, I will do more for you than you could ever ask or ever imagine. That's the kind of God that you and I get to worship today. And if we could understand on Christmas, it's not just about the baby, it's about the gifts that came from the baby. You couldn't keep your bottoms in your seat because of what God has done in our lives. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what have looked at and touch and our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested. God left heaven for you and me. You know, we sit down and it says, you know, no greater love than a man can give than he gives his life for somebody. We've got a God that left the heavens of heavens. Golden streets. I mean, diamond sidewalks to come down to earth to save people like you and me. And we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Now, here's the thing that's important. He will be like a tree firmly planted. Christians today, because we are not planted in the Word, when the wind comes, we're kind of like a double-minded person. The Bible says double-minded people will get nothing. And again, it's not easy to plant ourselves. I mean, we take two shovels and Satan puts one back in. We do two more and Satan puts one. It's hard. But what we have to do is understand that we are planted by streams of water and it yields fruit in its season, not ours, in its season, and its leaves don't wither, and whatever he does prosper. How many times have you begun to do things to go, boy, I hope this works? Well, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. You and I've got to get to the place to go, if I do it, I'm going to do it to the glory of God. If I do it to the glory of God, it's going to work. And these things rewrite, again, so that our joy may be made kind of complete. No, complete in our life. I want you to understand, Robert Yarborough is a New Testament scholar. And he says the verbs saw and heard and touch correspond to a variety of witnesses. And he uses the word attestation. And that word specifically means showing evidence in ancient jurisprudence, okay? But John is not making a conversation. He's not coming to Leon to go, man, I saw him, Leon, I touched him. No, what he is saying is like he's taking a deposition. He is giving sworn testimony. I saw him. I touched him. I heard from him. He is real. He is alive. And it's not a story. It is Christmas, is what it's about. Now, if the Christmas story is fictional, you're on your own. Everything about you, you're on your own. When you get up, you got to face the challenges all by yourself. You got bills to pay and got no money? Find out how you're going to pay them. But without Jesus Christ, the Word, life, eternal life, you're on your own. But if you get up and you understand that the reality of the Christmas story is true, and you open up the gift and you accept the grace given by God for your salvation, then if you get up and you go, I got bills to pay, then we can go, Lord, you gave me the house. Hallelujah. It's your house. And you're going to have to make the money because I ain't got it. I'm working hard. I'm trying. But God, your word said you'll meet every need in my life. So we have to sit down and understand that we've been saved by grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. But Jesus Christ is the Word. It's what we build our lives on. You know, when we pray, a lot of times we pray and we just talk. What I shared with Connie the other night is what I want to start doing is if someone's sick, they don't need my opinions. I just want to put my hand on them and say, the Word of God says. The Word of God says that these are the signs that accompany them that believe. We can lay our hands on though and impart the Word of God into them. You know, the reason that the world is in a mess is because we put it in a mess. The reason our lives are in a mess is because we put them in the mess. The only way that we get out is through the Word of God. 1 John 1:3 says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. I want to proclaim to you that the Word of God is true, so that you too may have fellowship, not only with the church, but indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the word koinonia in the Greek means to commune. And what the church has forgotten, what you don't understand, and sometimes we need somebody to go, Keith, don't forget, but you and I are no different than the apostles that were in Scripture. You and I are no different than the disciples, because the apostles, they saw, they knew, and they touched Jesus personally in their life. If He's not real, then you can't see Him. You can't touch Him. But what did the woman do that had the issue of blood? She fought through the crowd for one reason. She knew if she could touch the hem of His garment, that her life would be changed. Church, you and I have got to get to the same way to go, I've got to touch Him. Well, He's in heaven today. That is true. But the Bible says we've been crucified with Christ. The life that we have is no longer our life. But it says Christ lives in us, and you can't get any closer to Christ than Him living inside of you. But it says, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now think about this for a moment. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. Moses was told, your eyes cannot handle the glory. Well, if we look at the eclipse that comes by today, what do they tell you to do? Put a filter over your eyes so that it doesn't hurt your eyes and you can still see. Jesus Christ comes into the picture. Jesus Christ walks the earth. And Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. So when you look at Jesus Christ, you see the glory of God. Okay? But here's what you see. If you really want to see God, then you're going to have to immerse yourself in Scriptures. You can't take some Sunday service from some old gray-headed guy here in this church and go, No. You got to go home and open up your book. You got to immerse yourself in Scriptures. You got to see the humility that is in those Scriptures, the compassion of Jesus in those Scriptures, the wisdom and the power and the truth, because He was touched and He was seen. And that's the real gift that we have right now about Christmas. See, Jesus defines all of the world's expectations. You know, I look at my own life of where I came from and where I am. And it is just absolutely amazing that God would save a man like me. Can't even fathom that. But the infinite becomes the finite. The extraordinary becomes just the ordinary. The deity, a God of all gods, walks this earth, says, I'm going to give my deity away. I'm going to operate as a mortal man to show you guys that not only can you do the things that I did, but even greater things you can do because I do what the Father does. There was no hotel for Him but a barn. There was no palace for Him. He was homeless. There is no excuse, church, that you and I can't be just like Jesus Christ in our life. The real story of Christmas begins this way. Not with our accomplishments, not with the great things you've done, not with all the gifts that you have given, but just an ordinary act of humbly asking Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life. See, it means that you remove your place and you put Him as number one and you become number two. Church, the birth of Jesus Christ is important. But I got to tell you, all the gifts that are in that box, if you're willing to open them up, not only will it rock your world, it will rock the world to those around you. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen.